Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. You look great. You look fantastic. It is a new year. And last week, I introduced to you this concept of a question a day based on John Wesley's original 22 questions from the 18th century that me and my Wednesday night small group have expanded to 30 and kind of revised the language to update 21st century realities that we are dealing with today. The whole concept of these 30 questions really is more about lasting solutions that God wants to do in our lives, more than New Year's resolutions. Not that I'm against New Year's resolutions, but we're looking for lasting solutions. What does God want to do in us that will last for eternity? As I have been working on these questions with you this week, you know, we had the four pre-questions leading up to the first of the year on Thursday. I just felt God saying to me, you know, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to reveal new things, fresh things. I'm going to set you on a new path. And I was just, you know, welling up in my spirit, getting excited, and also praying that for you as well as we're working on these questions together. And I'm introducing these questions to you. I said, okay, God, I think I'm ready for what you have in this new year. I want to be ready. I want to be available to what you have for me. And then something cool happened on the 2nd of January. So on the 1st of January, I stayed home all day, you know. Of course, the Ducks played, and that was fun to watch. Go Ducks. They won their playoff game, and they're going to play this coming Saturday. They're going to play the only team that beat them this season, so that should be fun. But Friday. Is it Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Are you sure? You're right. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me in check. So they play on Friday. They're playing Indiana. Okay. And then I just stayed home the rest of the day on New Year's Day. I hadn't had a day off in a while, so I just read and watched some TV and took it easy. But on the 2nd, I went out, had to go to a store in Eugene. And the first person I had a conversation with was probably the most unlikely person that I would have ever sought to have a conversation with in the new year. But it was a young person who shared with me some exciting things that they're going through. They are transgendered. They had lost 125 pounds, and they were just telling me their story. And I'm sitting there listening, and I'm going, okay, God, this is one of the new things that you're going to do in the new year. You're going to expose me to new relationships. And this person was so excited. They asked for my email, and we've been corresponding. And okay, God, I'm ready for what you have in the new year. Teach me. Expand my horizons. Help me to build new relationships. And it was very exciting. And so you join me in praying for Elliot as I've developed a friendship with this young person who is just trying to figure life out. And it was very exciting. Let's dive into Scripture and let's look into these questions and let's see what God has in store for us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament. And there's this kind of this obscure verse right in the middle of Lamentations. Because really, one of the things these questions are intended to do is to get us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves the hard questions so that we can be honest with ourselves and honest with God. But there's this unique verse here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Very interesting verse. Let us examine ourselves and who we are and what we're doing, and test them, and then let us return to the Lord. Now, turn with me in your New Testaments to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, where the Apostle Paul is asking the church there in Corinth to do something very similar. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. But look at verse 5 again with me. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Let us pray. Father, these two scriptures ask us to do something that's kind of difficult for us to do. And yet, I don't see how we can grow and flourish and get to the next level that you have for us unless we do this, unless we take a long, hard look at ourselves, examine ourselves, our ways, our thoughts, our deeds, and test ourselves to see if we are truly in you and in your will. And so as we continue on this journey of examination, self-examination, continue to not only reveal yourself to us, but reveal ourselves to ourselves, that we might grow and be who you desire for us to be. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So as these scriptures ask of us to examine ourselves, it is one of the most difficult things we can do as human beings, is to take an honest, objective, unbiased look at ourselves. Honestly, it's a very difficult thing to do. We just typically try to avoid those parts of ourselves that we just don't want to deal with. So this is a very difficult thing to do. I acknowledge that. You ever not feel well, but you put off going to the doctor because you're afraid of what the doctor might say? I was on a trip a couple years ago with someone, and they had severe back pain, to the point where they couldn't walk with me as we were walking around. And I said, oh, you need to go to urgent care. You need to get it looked at. No, I don't want to. Next day, the pain was even worse. Hobbling around, could barely get up and walk. I said, I'm going to take you to urgent care. Finally, after 3 days of just being in pain, I took them to urgent care. And I said to them, why didn't you want to go sooner? And they said, I don't want to hear the diagnosis. You know, it could be something, you know, fatal, and I don't want to hear it. And fortunately, the diagnosis wasn't as catastrophic as they thought it would be. But we do have that tendency to put off that which we know we need to deal with, because it is hard to examine ourselves. It's hard to deal with those aspects of our lives that we just don't want to deal with. We need to get to that point of careful, critical, objective, non-judgmental self-examination, which we are not very good at. Because one of the things we tend to do is when we look in a mirror, we either tend to judge ourselves either too highly or too critically, like this first picture. Honestly, this is what we guys do. I think every guy in the room has done that. You know, we've looked in the mirror and we see something that really isn't reality. And this is what you ladies tend to do. Just from my experience, you ladies tend to do that. You tend to be more critical of yourselves than you need to be. And so this is what we do. We have a hard time looking at ourselves in a very objective way. We all do it. I've done it. Someone in our church has had a lot of fun doing it recently. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm going to show you the next picture, but before I show you the next picture, I got to warn you, it's a little bit risque, okay? So you've been warned, but I think Mike is having a little too much fun with this. Next picture. There you go. Thanks, Mike. But the point is, when we look at ourselves, when we examine ourselves, we tend to skew reality, either for the worse or for the better. And church, this is where we as a church can help each other. This is where we need each other. To be able to say, you know, you're being too hard on yourself. Because most of us tend to be too self-critical. And I need you to say to me, and you need me to say to you, and we need to say to each other, don't be too hard on yourself. But on the other end of the spectrum, there are times when maybe we think too highly of ourselves, or we're not being honest with ourselves, and we need people to be able to look at us and say, are you being genuine about this assessment or that assessment? And so, as a church family, as we are building trust and rapport, we need each other to be able to speak into each other's lives as we examine ourselves before the Lord and before each other, to speak truth in love into each other's lives. And so these 30 questions that we are embarking on are to help us do exactly that, to help us examine ourselves in light of God's Word, to be able to ask those critical, important questions in a non-judgmental, loving way, so that we can see reality for what it is, and then go on to the next level that God would have for us. And so we started last week, I introduced the four pre-questions to help prepare us for this journey that we're on. And they basically had to do with, am I going to be honest in this journey? And then, do I give you permission to speak into my life? And then, will I be able to speak into your life? And then on Thursday, January the 1st, we started with the first question. And if you weren't here last week, and if you're interested, I have a copy of what I passed out last week that I'll give you, and you can have a notebook. And so for today, we're going to look at the questions for this week, starting today on through Saturday, where the Ducks are not playing on Saturday, they're playing on Friday. But there's a question a day this week for us to examine ourselves in light of God's work in our spirit, and then for us to ask of each other. Because the goal is not just to survive, but the goal really is to thrive, to be all that God wants for us to be. When Jesus encountered the first disciples, Peter, James, and John, they were basically just surviving. They were fishermen. They were making a living. They were just trying to make it day after day, week after week. And then Jesus encountered them and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, and you're going to thrive, and you're going to change the world. They dropped their nets, and they followed him. And that's what these questions are intended to do, not just to help us survive and get by day after day, like many of us did in 2025, but really to skyrocket and thrive for what God has for us. And so I'm going to go through each of the questions for this week, and then I've got handouts for you to put in your notebook for this week as you reflect and meditate on these questions. Again, these questions are meant to make us think, meditate, and really take a hard, honest assessment of where we are at and where God wants to take us. So the question number four for today, do I actively participate in the life of Christ's body, worship, sacraments, fellowship, and service, or do I treat church as optional? That's an important question if we're going to follow Jesus. Now, am I going to be actively involved in the life and body of Christ? Now, the fact that you're in church this morning on the first Sunday of the year indicates to me that you don't treat church as optional, and I thank God for that. But we all know people who do treat church as optional, and we all know people for whom church is not even on their radar screen. And I understand there's a variety of reasons why people don't come to church, from I don't believe in God, to I don't believe in what they're doing, to I've been hurt in church. I get it. There's a whole spectrum of reasons why and excuses why we don't have to go to church. But the reality is the scriptures call us to a life and vitality in the community of faith. And that's us. However imperfect we are, you're not going to find a perfect church. But what you will find, if you put your heart into it, are perfect intentions when you come to church and when you participate and when you serve and when you give your all. Let me share with you the verse for January. And again, this is how this guide is intended to work. And so the question for January, question number four, you would go to your guide and there's a verse for January. Next month, when you reflect on this question, there's a verse for February, and then a verse for March, and on and on and on. But let's look at the verse for January. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And again, these questions come straight from Scripture to help us examine ourselves and to see if we are on the path that we need to be on. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. That's what these questions are intended to do, to encourage and spur each other on. Towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, even back then in the first century, there were those who threw up their arms and said, nah, I don't want to meet anymore. And the writer to Hebrews here is saying, that's not going to do you any good. We need each other to encourage each other on, to spur each other on. And so this question is an important question, especially as we begin this new year. Is church just going to be optional? Am I going to be involved in the body of Christ? Do I have something significant to contribute? And the answer is yes, you do. The next question, the day after that, is this question for self-examination as we test ourselves. Have I been angry, resentful, or bitter toward anyone? And have I sought reconciliation where possible? This is a big one. We all deal with this because we are all humans living on this planet. And people have hurt us. People have caused us to be resentful. People have caused us to perhaps become bitter. But if we're going to take following Jesus Christ seriously, he tells us precisely what to do in those situations. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew 5, 22. Jesus says this, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. But let me go on into verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your guilt. You see, Jesus has something very significant to say about these feelings of anger and resentment and bitterness that well up within all of us because we are all human. And so this is an important question for self-examination and reflection. Next question for this coming week. Am I a slave to reputation, dress, technology, work, money, or habits rather than a servant of Christ? This is another critical question. These are all very important questions. But is there anything in your life, in my life, in our lives, that we are slaves to? And honestly, if we dwell on this question long enough, the answer would, I think, surprise us. As we think of these things that have a hold on us, and what the Scriptures repeatedly call us to, is to disregard these things of the world that have a tendency to have a hold on us, and to become a servant of Christ. Look at 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not become a slave to the things of this world. Rather, we are to be a servant of Christ. And so this is an important question of self-examination. Does anything have a hold in my heart where Christ should be? Next question for the week that we're going to meditate on and focus on in self-examination. Am I prioritizing issues that are most important to God in my day-to-day life and making the most of each day, or am I wasting precious time on frivolous things? Critical question for us. Critical question for me, because I love to play Candy Crush, and I'm really good at it. But there are times when I catch myself saying, you know what? My time can be spent doing something more productive. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. And I could go on and read the rest of the chapter, and it's good stuff. But the scriptures repeatedly tell us, let's not waste the precious time that we do have. And what a great reminder for us as we begin this new year. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Next question for us to ponder in this coming week. When I fail, do I confess, apologize, repent sincerely, and seek concrete change, or dwell on my stubbornness? Let's admit it, as we do self-examination, we tend to be more stubborn than we want to admit. We are creatures of habit. I mean, I pulled into church today, and most of you park in the same parking spot as you did last year. Most of you are sitting in the exact same spot in church as you did last year. We are creatures of habit. We tend to be stubborn. We tend to be stuck in our ways. And it's hard to grow if we will not allow God to break us of some of those stubborn habits so that we can achieve something new and something better. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Church, we don't confess our sins very well. And when we don't confess our sins, unconfession is a root cause of hurt, pain, not only spiritual and emotional pain, but even physical pain. I mean, if you're holding on to sin, resentment, lies, anger, if you hold on to that and not confess it and not seek change, how can that not affect you as a person, right? But the scriptures say when we confess, we find healing. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is an important question for us to meditate on this week. Next question. Am I faithful in my calling, work, family, marriage, church, and neighborhood, or am I half-hearted where God has placed me? And I get it as we reflect on this question. There are times in our lives when work is mundane. I get it. And maybe we go to work and our heart is not in it. There are times in our lives when family, you just want to run. You need a break. I get it. There are seasons in a marriage where your all is not in it. There are times in the life of church family that your heart is not in it. Maybe you have a neighbor that is just irritating you and you just don't want to be very neighborly. I get it. We all get this. And yet, the scriptures call us to something different. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the Apostle Paul lays it on pretty heavy here for us. As he should, if we're going to grow and thrive in this new year. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. He says this, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, in everything that you do," he says, "put your all into it for the glory of God." And so this question will cause us to reflect upon, am I putting my all, my best, for the glory of God? And then finally, the last question for this coming week, do I insist on doing what troubles my conscience rather than seeking counsel and submitting to God's will? Do I insist on doing what troubles my conscience? Now, if you don't have a conscience, that's a whole different problem. God gives us a conscience for a reason. And there are times that our consciences should be troubled. Or do I seek counsel, wisdom from my church family, wisdom from God's word, wisdom from my spiritual friend, wisdom from others, and do I submit to God's will? Because church family, as we begin a new year, every time we submit to the will of God, may not be easy, but it is always the right step in the right direction. Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And if you need a verse this year to propel you in 2026, consider this verse. "But seek first His kingdom," God's kingdom, "and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Submit to God, His ways, His kingdom, His righteousness, and everything else will fall into place.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.